Joining us today, Kurt Haskell, who was kind enough to sit in for me on the Power Hour and bring some most interesting programs to all of you. Well, he is joining us today as a guest, and I am so glad to have him joining us today. He's a retired trial attorney. He graduated from Thomas Cooley Law School in 1999, and you will recall that on Christmas Day in 2009, he and his wife, Lori, were passengers on Northwest Flight 253. That's the one the infamous Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab, the underwear bomber, allegedly tried to destroy the plane with a bomb hidden in his underwear. Though it didn't detonate, it caused a fire, emergency landing, and of course brought in those machines that we all have to get cooked in when we go to the airports. Anyway, he is joining us today. He decided to try and tell the FBI what really happened. They weren't interested. And then he tried to run for office for Congress in Michigan's 7th District. And he lost, unfortunately, by a small margin. And they decided to escape the United States and move to Costa Rica. Thank you so very much, Kurt Haskell, for joining us today on the Power Hour.
No problem. Great to be back on, Joyce.
Oh, and it was great to have you sit in for me when I was totally ineffective and unable to be here, but I appreciate that so very much. Well, talk to me about how you see things, because you see them from outside the United States. You're an attorney. You have escaped, if you will, from the United States, living in Costa Rica. Talk to me about what you see is important in the global news today.
Sure. Well, I'm seeing some very troubling signs, and I put together a list I would like to go over today, a list of 20 things that I think are pointing towards imminent disaster in the United States. And okay. I think it's important that your listeners know, or at least take a look and think logically about some of these signs, and I think that they should be informed of what's going on, because I don't think the United States government is adequately telling the citizens of the United States what's going on and adequately preparing them.
Well, let me just add that, my goodness, you know, here Greece is about ready to pull out of the EU, and I mean, they are, like, going to devastate every other country, and you've got Fox Business News focusing on the Confederate flag, and they're not even mentioning the fact that the dominoes might start falling after Greece crumbles, or if it does. I'm not even talking about it, but they're talking about a Confederate flag, which is, of course, the reason why all the crime occurs in this country. I mean, it's just crazy. Absolutely crazy. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Exactly. And that is one of the 20 factors I have, the imminent default of Greece, because you have all these derivatives which tie all the big banks together. And if a government like Greece goes down, it's going to trigger trillions in derivatives, and it will take down Deutsche Bank, the biggest bank in the world, which will take down some of the other banks, which could take all the big banks down. So that's one of the 20 items. But, you know, since I was on the underwear bomber plane, I've kind of learned how to look at these events and take out what's important not, and think of them logically and try and put two and two together and come up with what actually is going on. So if you would, I'd like to mention some of the items on
okay.
the list.
Please.
California is about ready to run out of water. They're saying California will have no water by next year. Well, California produces a large amount of crops in the United States, and by itself, if it was a country, it would be the fourth largest economy in the world. Yet there's no backup plan for what happens if California runs out of water. They're just talking about, well, it's going to run out of water next year, and we need, you know, to cut back on water use. Well, what happens if it runs out of water? Why isn't there a backup plan to get California water somehow? So what
Good
I take
point.
Out of that is there's really no regard for California and the West Coast at all. If it runs out of water, the U.S. seems to be okay with that. Okay, so just put that on hold for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Next, April 14th, and these are in no particular order of importance. April 14th, 2015, the New York branch of the U.S. Federal Reserve worried that a natural disaster or other event could shut down its marketing operations, has added staff and bulked up its satellite office in Chicago. So what this story tells me is that the Federal Reserve Bank is very concerned about a natural disaster on the East Coast affecting New York, and not Chicago. So possibly maybe something to do with water coming into New York. So that's what I take out of that story. Okay, next. April 8th, 2015. NORAD, the North American Aerospace Command, is moving its communications equipment to the Cold War era mountain bunker at Cheyenne Mountain because it's EMP hardened. According to Admiral William Gortney, I quote, "My primary concern was, are we going to have space inside the mountain for everybody who wants to move in there? And I'm not at liberty to discuss who's moving in there." So here we have concern and an admission that possibly different government agencies or important government persons may need to move inside a mountain bunker. Okay, next story. The out-of-control spending going on in the U.S., there's no regard for running up the national debt at all, and it's gotten so bad that on March 15, 2015, the national debt clock was just stopped because it's just gone so ridiculous.
Wait a minute. So, when did they stop that? I was not aware of that.
Yes, March 15, 2015. They just shut it off completely because it's just gone so ridiculous.
So the problem's over then by shutting off the clock.
Yeah, I guess the problem's over, right?
Yeah, kind of like taking down the flag, and then the problem will be gone. Okay, go ahead.
Right. So what that tells me is maybe there's a reason the United States isn't concerned about its debt. That's what I take out of this, putting two and two together.
Okay. Good point.
Next. All the worldwide tensions between U.S. and Russia and U.S. and China over possibly starting World War III. There's many, many stories on that, so I don't think I need to go into detail on that. Number six would be the Greek default, which we already mentioned. Number seven.
You know what, let me ask you a little bit more about it. What are your thoughts on the Greek default? Do you, you know, today they're supposed to make a decision whether or not they're going to go ahead and take this latest offer. And if they do, you know, I mean, I guess we'll wait till the next problem occurs. But if not, they said they will not be paying their bills by July and they'll be out of the EU by July. What are your thoughts on how significant this is? And then do you believe the predictions that in 10 days, the ripple effect will hit the United States?
Yes, I think it's very significant. And I think the ripple effect will hit the U.S., maybe even faster than that. I don't know. It's going to hit the European banks first. Especially Deutsche Bank and some of the French banks, they have the most derivatives on a Greek default. So they're going to be devastated. You're talking about wiping out the economy of France and Germany overnight, practically. And all these large banks are tied together. They all have different swapping derivatives. So if one big bank goes down, it's like a house of cards. They all fall down. So I could see then Bank of America going down, you know, and Chase Bank, you know, and a lot of the big U.S. banks too. So yeah, I think it's a huge event, and it's just a matter of when. Greece can't pay its bills regardless. They're going to default, you know, unless the debt is written off for some reason, which I don't see. So it's just a matter of kicking the can, and a question of when, not if. It's how I see it. Yeah, I think it's a huge event.
Do you think Greece is going to acquiesce and accept this latest, you know, kind of not very good offer, or do you think that they will leave the EU?
Well, the problem with Greece is they don't have money to pay this debt back at all. No matter what deal they make, they can't pay it back. So any deal they make is simply kicking the can down the road a little bit. Will they leave the EU? Yeah, I think they're going to have to leave the EU because what they need to do is devalue their currency, and they can't devalue their currency if they're part of the euro. So they're going to need to go back to the drachma to devalue their currency.
And I understand they're already doing the drachma now, making the drachma now so that they will, you know, I mean, that kind of is a dead giveaway. Maybe it's a plan B, but it's kind of a dead giveaway, don't you think?
Yes, exactly. I think what they're going to do is default, leave the euro, and make some sort of pipeline deal with Russia, which they've been talking about for quite some time, and maybe get some advance on the pipeline payments from Russia just to get by in the interim So that's kind of how I see it ultimately. But the European Union is desperate to not have a default, but there's no way around it, really. That's why you just keep seeing all this can kicking, because the European Union knows that if Greece goes, Italy's going to go, Spain's going to go, Ireland's going to go, and that's going to be the end of the euro and mm-hmm. the end of all the major banks that have derivatives on this. So, yeah, I think that's a huge event.
Mm-hmm.
So, back to my list. September 24th, 2015, Pope Francis will become the first pope to speak to both houses of Congress, and then he's going to give a speech at the UN. So what I take out of this is the pope believes something very, very important is going to be going on around this time, September 24th of this year. Next, the U.S. economy itself is on the edge of imminent financial collapse, and the dollar losing its currency reserve status. Again, the U.S. economy itself is a house of cards, too. It's being held together with smoke and mirrors, basically. Mm-hmm. And the plug can be pulled at any time.
Let me ask, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but have you seen that, the Ron Paul message8.com? Have you seen that?
No, I don't think I have.
Okay, let me just tell you, in the U.S., he has bought airtime like crazy on Fox and CNN advertising this Ron Paul message, the numeral 8.com. When we come back, I'll tell you about it because it is dire. It is serious, and he pulls no punches. We'll be back with our guest, Kurt Haskell. We're talking with Kurt Haskell. He is an attorney. He vacated this country, went to Costa Rica, where he lives with his wife now, former attorney or not a practicing attorney now, but he stays in the know of what's happening. And we're talking about 20 items that mean that we're just about ready to crump, the world's financial system is. Let's see, I was talking about Ron Paul Message 8, and the reason I wanted to mention this, ladies and gentlemen, is you can watch it, ronpaulmessage8.com, is that he talks about it's going to be, you know, violence in the streets. There's going to be no food. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be not able to get your cash. I mean, he talks about everything, but he talks about the reason why. And, of course, it has to do with the currency. It has to do with the IMF. It has to do with the manner in which the debt has grown, and they don't have any chance or desire to ever want to pay it off. They keep saying, we need to pay off that debt. Really? And all these years you haven't done it. And, you know, then he says, Kurt, when the interest rate starts to climb, that's when the trouble's going to come here, because we will not be able to make the interest on the debt. Once the interest rate begins to climb, it's going to be our demise also. And that may be one of the things you're going to talk about. But that's huge. But anyway, Ron Paul is very serious. I mean, I've never seen him so serious. So just to the listeners, you may want to watch that. All right, let's go on with your items here, please, Kurt.
Sure. Just finishing up number 8, I'm talking about the loss of the U.S. dollars. World reserve currency status. So if the U.S. loses that, and it will at some point in the near future, you're talking about a loss of the value of the dollar of maybe 90%. So you can imagine what effect that would have on the U.S. And countries around the world are getting rid of the dollar like crazy. It's happening one after another in bilateral trade between themselves and also in the oil trade, which has been used to prop up the dollar for many years. So number 9 on my list, February 16th of this year, Google co-founder Vint Cerf says everyone should start printing everything off of the internet. And I quote, "Digital technology could turn the 21st century into a new dark age lost to history." So what this one tells me is, this is the founder of Google. He's concerned about a permanent loss of the internet.
Wow.
So think of what may cause that. Okay, next item on the list. March 9, 2015. China completes its new SWIFT system for international bank transfers, which will be operational by, here's that date again, September 2015. Now, some people may say it's just trying to break free from the U.S. The U.S. has the only SWIFT system of international bank transfers right now. But I look at it a little differently. I think China is concerned of a breakdown in a non-operational U.S. SWIFT system. So that's what I take out of this one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and think about what may cause that to happen. Okay, number 11 on my list, May 20th, 2015, quoting President Obama, climate change, pay real close attention to the specific words in this one. Climate change constitutes a serious threat to global security and immediate risk to our national security, and it will impact how our military defends our country. And so we need to act, and we need to act now. So here's what I take out of this. He doesn't say global warming. He says climate change. Now, being a lawyer, you're taught to use specific words, which may make people think one thing when it actually means another thing. So I don't think he's talking about global warming here. I think he's talking about something else, a weather-related event. Yes. And look at what he says. It's a threat to global security, and it's an immediate risk to our national security, and we need to act now. So just keep that on the back burner for a few moments.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Okay. Number 12, May 13, 2014, French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius, and I quote, "We have 500 days to avoid climate chaos." Okay, this is May 13, 2014. So the 500 days are up the last week of September. Again, we have that date again, September 2015. And he doesn't say global warming, climate chaos. So what is he talking about here?
Ooh, let's talk about that after this three-minute break. Climate chaos. We'll come back with Kurt Haskell. Stay tuned to the Power Hour. This is Joyce Riley. Aren't you glad you tuned in today? We're talking to Kurt Haskell today about the world events and what may very well bring about a crisis in the world global situation. And the thing that you mentioned before the break, your 20 reasons why we're going to have a huge hiccup, it seems like, in the world's economy, is a weather crisis. Is that what you said, a weather crisis?
Well, number 12 on my list is the French foreign minister stating, we have five, and this is the quote, "We have 500 days to avoid climate chaos," with the 500 days being up the last week of September this year. So what strikes me as interesting about the statement is he doesn't talk about global warming. He doesn't say what specifically, but he says chaos. And what's even more striking to me about this quote is he says 500 days, a very specific amount of time. So, you know, if you're talking about global warming or some weather-related event, they're not easily that calculable. You cannot conclude to that sort of an exact date unless it's some sort of an approaching object from the sky. Then maybe you could. For instance, a meteor, an asteroid, something like that. So I just thought that was very interesting, because if you're going to do an estimate and say, you know, the polar ice caps are melting due to global warming, we're going to have a problem in a few years or a couple years, you wouldn't come out and say 500 days. It's just a very strange amount.
Yeah.
So that tells me we're talking about a more specific weather-related event that can be calculated. So,
yeah.
Number 13 on my list, April 6, 2015. Inuit elders from Canada's Arctic say the following, and I quote, "The sun rises at a different position now, not where it used to previously. They now have longer daylight to hunt. The sun is higher than earlier, and it gets warmer much more quickly. The change in climate is not due to global warming, but rather the Earth has shifted." So that's very interesting to me, because you're talking about a group being up at the Arctic Circle, where the sun is easy to view where it rises and sets. So here they're talking about a shift in the Earth's magnetic pole that's so large that it's affecting their lives, and they can see it with their own eyes. So very interesting to me. Now think about what may cause a shift in the Earth's magnetic poles. Okay.
And what would that be? But what would that be?
Well, it could be a large magnetic body out in space that is pulling on the Earth's magnetic pole, causing the Earth to shift. That's kind of what I'm getting at here, possibly. It could be other things, too. It could be that the molten core of the Earth is shifting and causing the poles to shift, too, or something along those lines, too.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, number 14 on my list. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, which provides data on the location of the Earth's magnetic poles, and it has data going back to the year 1590, indicates that the poles are shifting now at a speed greater than at any time since they've been keeping records, and it's accelerating. So, number 15 on my list. Multiple sources are indicating a huge increase in the amount and severity of earthquakes and volcanoes. So again, this could be tied to the shifting of the Earth's magnetic poles also.
Mm-hmm.
Number 16, there has been an excessive and increased amount of spraying of chemtrails recently. Many people are reporting this. We're not being told what they're for. Obviously, it's related to weather in some form or fashion. We don't know what exactly. They're very mum on this, so it's a very top secret reason for the spraying of the chemtrails. We don't know, but whatever it is, whatever the reason is, it's becoming more of a priority because we're seeing more spraying and more frequently and excessive spraying. Okay, 17 on my list. This goes back a ways. It goes back to 1999. It's an interview with Father Malachi Martin done by Art Bell. And Father Malachi Martin was a professor at the Vatican's Biblical Institute. And Art Bell asked him, why does the Vatican have a telescope in Arizona? And which is a very good question.
Mm-hmm.
And his response is very interesting. And here it is. I'll quote, "What's going on in space, what's approaching us, could be of great import in the next 5 or 10 years. Now, this interview was done in 1999. So, obviously, he was off on his timeline. But it doesn't mean he's off on a subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, the Vatican put up a telescope for a reason. I mean, think about the Vatican. It has all of these ancient texts, ancient books that nobody else is allowed to see in its library, a history of the world, if you will. And if any place would have a record of a celestial body that comes to Earth at a calculable time, it would be the Vatican. So why would the Vatican have a telescope up? It, for the reason Malachi Martin states, it's expecting a celestial body to approach the Earth. So I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Number 18. There are very many recent pictures and videos all over the internet showing two suns in the sky at the same time. And they're not Photoshop. Some of them are impossible to Photoshop. When you're looking at videos and pictures of multiple angles showing the two suns moving in the sky on different sides, what have you. So it's not due to Photoshop, some of them anyway. So you have to ask yourself, how is this possible? What is the other sun?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next item, number 19. Hopefully I'm not boring you with this.
No, this is fascinating because what you're doing is bringing up a lot of issues that we may not have thought about, you know, other than the main things like the Grexit or the Greek exit, you know, those things we hear about somewhat. But all these other things are fascinating because you're bringing it all together and it's all coming down around September. That's what I find so amazing, is that it all seems to intersect in September.
Right. And what I'll tie it all together at the end, because what I like to do is just think of all these logically and how they fit together like a puzzle. And I'll kind of give my analysis at the end. I may be wrong. I may be wrong. I don't have any inside information. I'm just taking the available data and drawing the most logical inferences from the data. Mm-hmm. So number 19 on my list, December 30th, this is going back a ways too, 1993, from the Washington Post. Here's the title of the article. Possibly as large as Jupiter, mystery heavenly body discovered. And I quote from the article, a force generated by something invisible to the naked eye was mysteriously tugging at the orbits of Uranus and Neptune. So here what they're getting at is there's a huge object. You're talking about something with enough magnetic pull to move the planets Uranus and Neptune, which also indicates that it's in our solar system. This is from 1993, or at least close enough to affect our solar system. Mm-hmm. So, if it's able to move huge planets like Uranus and Neptune, it would surely be large enough to make the poles shift on the Earth if it got close enough, and also move the Earth's rotation. So, now, obviously, something like this would be very, very hush-hush. And we saw stories about this in the 1980s. You can see from various sources on the internet that are still there. And this is one of the last ones in the early 90s, because obviously there was some sort of decree to make this very hush-hush. But there it is from the Washington Post, a respected paper. And, of course, number 20 on my list, which we haven't touched on, but I'm sure you've talked about this in some of your other shows, are the Jade Helm exercises.
All right.
So we have Jade Helm starting supposedly July 15th, going through the middle of September. Personally, I don't believe that it will be confined to seven states. We've seen pictures of military vehicles and operations taking place all over the United States already. They're remodeling closed Walmart stores for who knows what reason, but that tells me this is more of a long-term deal than 60 days that they're saying. They wouldn't be remodeling Walmart stores just for a 60-day exercise.
Right.
They're putting tanks, for God's sake, throughout the United States, stationing military members throughout the United States. There's been reports of UN helicopters and vehicles spotted. You can see the pictures of them on the internet. And when I look at this is, I don't believe that the United States is going through all this trouble with Jade Helm, this great deal of planning, great deal of expense to just say, oh, it's September 15th, our exercise is now over, we're going to undo everything we just did now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that at all. And if you think of it logically, if the U.S. knew something was going to happen that would cause chaos in the United States, it would put all the pieces in place first to deal with the chaos. So I think what Jade Helm is it's going to be dealing with an impending disaster, the one, again, we see Jade Helm ending in September. Here's that date again. So I think before the end of Jade Helm, or coinciding with it, maybe that week after, you're going to see a major event. Now, from the 20 points I've stated, it appears to me that most likely there's going to be some sort of weather-related event that can be predictable, whether it's a meteor, an asteroid, or possibly even planet Nibiru. As crazy as that sounds, I hate to even say that because people are going to call me crazy for even mentioning it, but I'm just looking at the data and drawing inferences from that. So logically, I think a weather-related event is in the know in the U.S. government, and they're setting up all the pieces in place for that. Now, it could be a real weather-related event, or it could be a created one by HAARP, I don't know. The U.S. does have the HAARP technology to modify the weather. Because what I see economically, I don't think that the economy will collapse first. And the reason I don't think that is because the people of the United States would then go after the bankers and politicians and blame them and want to kill them. So what's going to happen is, in my opinion, most likely you're going to see a weather-related event followed by economic collapse. Possibly also in the chaos, World War III, where the U.S. is attacked while it's devastated. Something along those lines, I think, is what all these factors point to. Now, call me crazy, but again, I'm just a messenger here, looking at the facts as I see them, what's most likely to happen. So I don't know. Do you have a different opinion on this, Joyce?
No, I think you're pretty close.
That's kind of how I see it.
Yeah, no, but we have a couple of callers. They may disagree or agree. I don't know. So let's go to them. Ray in Texas, you're on the air with our guest today, Kurt Haskell. Go ahead, please, Ray.
Me?
Ray, are you there?
This is Larry.
Go ahead, please. Oh, Larry in Texas? Hello. Go ahead, please, Larry.
Yes. Kurt, how you doing, man?
Hey,
are
good morning.
Moonlighting?
Yeah. Yes, how you doing, Larry?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I missed you last night, man. Sorry, dude. Just, you know, driving a truck gets kind of busy.
No problem.
Hey, a lot of things I kind of agree with you on. Some, the Nibiru thing, I'm not sure. But
okay.
On your topic of talking about the debt and banks collapsing, really the only people that get hurt when the big banks go under, per se, are the bank owners. People like me that might do farming and stuff like that, we can barter, sell, and trade, and life goes on. Meanwhile, the bankers, if they lose everything, well, they kind of lose their power hold, too. On the end of, well, I won't say end of the world, excuse me on that. Book of Revelation does talk about wormwood wiping out a third of mankind. And Yahweh also talks about if he didn't intervene, eventually mankind would destroy itself. You know, powers that be are kind of wackos. And at this point, when they pinpoint stuff like that, who knows? We know that they hate our country because of what we represent.
And wait a minute. Who hates our country? Who hates our country?
Rothschilds and their minions.
Well, I don't know that they hate the country, but I do believe that, you know, they're in it for themselves, obviously.
Well, no, they've made it quite clear that they want to topple this country. We stand in their way of having their pretty little one-world government.
Well, yeah.
If you read all their writings that they say, and that's what I mean when I say that, they hate it. Because what we represent, we're a thorn in their side, so to speak. We're in their way, inconvenient as it is. But, you know, so they could use technology, because let's face it, if we fell, you know, I hear commercial coming, but think about it, if we fall, there's the last vestige of liberty and people fighting against them that really stand up and say no.
All right, thank you very much for the phone call. I appreciate it, Ray. We'll be back, Larry, after this 3-minute break, final segment with Kurt Haskell. Stay tuned. Wow, this gives you a lot to think about. We'll be right back. Talking about the 20 reasons why, oh my word, it sounds bad for September. Did you want to respond to anything that Ray said, or should we move on?
Let's move on.
Okay.
He stated his opinion, and that's fine. Everyone has their own opinion on this, so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect everyone to agree with everything I'm saying.
All right. Let's go to Chris in Florida. Chris, you're on the air. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Have you heard of Flood the System at floodthesystem.net?
I have not.
I have not either.
Well, starting September 1st, you can read about it, but they mention climate chaos where they're trying to get people to demonstrate. On the Facebook event, it has 8,300 people who have RSVP'd to it. But, it's interesting to see that they've just mentioned, and when you search for the word climate, the only term is climate chaos and climate crisis that come up. And what we need to do, as Ray just said, is what we should have done earlier is equitable commerce media like community currencies and time banks and swap shops and barter networks, cooperatives and community gardens, all of which should be public rather than privately managed and to benefit a private, owner who would get a cut of each transaction. That's why they should be public. So what do you say to that?
Well, you know, that's going to be needed if you're talking about wiping out the economy and, you know, a weather-related event, too. You're talking about going back to the dark ages, at least temporarily, on a system of barter. But is it going to happen? No, it's not going to happen because the government doesn't want you to know what's coming. It wants you to prepare as little as possible for what's coming. So, yeah, that will be the result after many millions of people die, I'm afraid.
Okay.
Well, they always do spring up during any panic, depression, recession. We have community currencies, especially because they're tangible, and that's why I support them the most, because they're not digital and you don't rely on a computer. So, so like I said, in the flood the system starting September 1st, occurring September 1st, seems to be like a pre-orchestrated collapse. And so the answer, as I know, Joyce, you've heard me say before, are these other commerce media, because, you know, human productivity is limited only by time. That's why they are based on time. And, we have the TPP and all these other things. How much worse does it need to get before we realize that governments cannot be trusted to control the issue, the currency and credit, without usury and without some other kind of rigging?
So true. So true. Thank you very much, Chris, for the phone call. I appreciate that. Yeah. How much more do we need to go down this road before we say, you know, we're going into a black hole? One of the things that I believe, and I'd like to ask your opinion on this, is, Kurt, to me, I think what we do is we go to the government, purchase our rope to go and sit at their table to braid the rope to hang ourselves and our families with. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what's going on in a nutshell. I mean, we're supposed to be the employers of the government, but it's turned out to be that we're the slaves of the government instead.
So true. Thank you, Kurt, for joining us today. Look forward to having you back on again. Excellent information. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
No problem.
You have a blessed day. We will see you tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about the truth. Wherever you find it, we want to be involved in providing the truth to all of our listeners. And tomorrow's program, we're going to have Beth Clay on health freedom, forced vaccination, psychiatric drugs, and also Scott Bennett regarding what the military believes. We'll talk to them tomorrow. Have a blessed day. We'll see you tomorrow. Y'all bless.